Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson. You're panic packing, double masking. I can't believe it's already Christmas week, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, you're knee deep in home improvements because I'm hosting Christmas Eve dinner. I built a shelf out of acrylic for my Christmas village, and I need to tell you about acrylic construction. 2022 is just another year, and I'm not doing the new year, new me spiel because it's bullshit, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us on this, our last episode of 2021.
Indeed.
We are taking next week off. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
I am talking about writing your own eulogy.
Ooh, a nice light topic for the end of the year.
Okay, so it's our last episode of the year. It's the end of the year. It's the time of year when people do a lot of evaluating about what they find important in their lives. And a really good way to figure out life goals if you're feeling a little bit lost is to write your own eulogy. Because when it's your last day on earth, or when it's the last day that people will come and honor you, what is it that you want to be known for?
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Bethany?
And I'm talking about Santa Claus.
Yay.
I'm talking about all of the really dark and bizarre ways that Santa has been depicted in our media. One involves Fran Drescher. So I'm looking forward to talking about that.
Oh, Fran Drescher. You know,
I love her.
She had one of the best TV wardrobes on The Nanny. And it's not something that people really talk about, but we should.
You know what? I know several people who have gone back and watched The Nanny and just love it.
Yeah.
Just love it. So, Kathleen, you said we need to issue an apology. Why?
Okay. Bethany, last episode, we talked very lightheartedly, very in jest.
Tongue in cheek
about how maybe being a squatter in a building that you didn't belong in would be like maybe something fun or exciting, like living on the edge.
Mostly in reference to when my apartment was bought by a large company who then knocked it down.
Yeah.
My upstairs neighbor stayed until they made him leave, and I just left. He made a lot of money because they paid him to leave, and I lost a lot of money because I continued to pay my rent and then paid to move. And so we were tongue-in-cheek talking about being a squatter. Okay. Why is this person mad?
Okay, so we got a text message. Actually, I think it was a voicemail. So this person said, just listening to the most recent episode where you were discussing squatters, I know you were both joking, but I work in the court system, and the majority of landlords in this country are small landlords, not big wealthy corporations. And you have no idea how devastated these landlords are when people live in their buildings and decide not to pay rent. And right now, because of COVID, you can't get evicted because the government is just not doing that right now because people are, they can't find work and they can't pay their rent and that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though you all were joking, I think it was an irresponsible joke because these are people's homes and livelihoods.
I hear you. I'm not going to apologize for going off on a stupid tangent. Like, I think that anyone who took us seriously doesn't understand being sarcastic and just being dumb. Like, no, I think anyone who's looking for advice is not going to listen to that segment and go, they seriously seem really into squatting.
Listen, my dad was a landlord. I have friends who are landlords. And none of them are big, wealthy millionaires. They're all just, you know, regular folk. I get it. Bethany won't apologize, but I will say, like, I'm 25% sorry.
No, I understand. And I'm glad that you raised the issue. And you, and then, so yeah. That means you've done the work. You've explained to people, mm-hmm. and we thank you for that.
Thank you. Yes.
But, you know, it is like, we're a lighthearted podcast most of the time. And sometimes it's just fun to go on a thought experiment. Bethany, and be like, I don't think anyone who's looking for life advice would hear that segment and go, squatting is a great idea.
But it might really be not. If you're looking for adventure in your life, just saying.
If you're looking for a way to ruin your life and the lives of others.
Okay, Bethany.
Okay,
What are you doing for Christmas this year? You're leaving to go back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, I'm taking a COVID test today. Mm-hmm. I am praying that it comes back negative. Yeah. I would be devastated if it didn't.
Yeah.
But I also know that we have to be super safe. So yeah. I'm really crossing my fingers. But if that's the case, then I get to go home. I get to see, you know, my family and friends. And we always do long Christmas dinner. I've talked about it on the podcast before. And in between each course of the dinner, we play a game.
Oh,
and I'm
so
always
fun.
Responsible for the prizes because, like, especially at our old job, we would get a lot of free stuff. And so I would hoard it during the year and then give it away as prizes during the holidays for Christmas. So we didn't do it last year because of COVID. So this year we're bringing it back. And so I have a whole bag of, like, gifts that are awesome down to really dumb that people are going to be getting.
Ooh, maybe I should implement that with my Christmas Eve dinner this year. We're hosting 10 people, all of which I've asked to take rapid tests before they come because I don't want to be a super spreader event. But I've got some fun stuff to give away, like menstrual cups that I never used. And
Those are great. You should use those. I like them.
I'm sure Neil's Uncle Steve would be so thrilled to get a menstrual cup as a prize on Christmas Eve.
tell him it's a hard-boiled egg holder, you know, like to keep your fingers nice and clean while you're holding and eating a hard-boiled egg.
So I have big news, Bethany.
What's that?
There is a documentary coming out on HBO Max about Beanie Babies and about the really rare Beanie Babies that are worth money. And it comes out on December 23rd.
Kathleen, we've talked about this.
We manifested this.
Kathleen, I did a whole episode on why your Princess Diana Beanie Baby is not your 401k.
No, it is my 401k, and you please stop saying that. You're making me upset.
It's not, Kathleen.
Anyway, metaphorically, Bethany, has the shit hit the fan for you holiday-wise yet? Do you have everything done on your checklist?
Oh my God, Kathleen, no. I am not done Christmas shopping. I leave today.
Oh.
And this morning, my sink started leaking. I sprung a leak.
What?
It is my fault.
Wait, Bethany, that's so funny you're saying that. Continue.
Okay. So I was feeding my flock of birds outside and I was emptying the water into my kitchen sink and it stopped draining. And I was like, oh man. Oh. So I have these like they're like oversized plastic zip ties that are like big and you shove them down and then they're supposed to like grab the hair and pull it back out.
Oh, satisfying.
Yeah. But apparently they're sharper than I thought and the U-bend in my sink was thinner than I thought and straight up punctured a hole straight in the bottom of the U-pipe. Because the water started draining super fast and I had a moment of being very satisfied. And then I had a moment of being frightened because it sounded like it was louder draining than it should have been. And it was because it was draining into the cabinet under the sink.
Oh my God.
So I have to send an email to my landlord this morning saying, I popped a hole in the U-pipe. Bye. Merry Christmas.
Freaking course that of course it happens, you know, less than 24 hours before you're supposed to leave to go home for the holidays.
It always
freaking
does.
Course.
It's the way it is.
There's probably an evil elf down there, Bethany, like an evil Satan elf trying to, I don't know, ruin your holiday and whatnot.
Yeah, it's the elf under the shelf. And all he does, instead of a smile on his face, he's just holding a knife and he pokes holes in all of your pipes. Because he's heard you having sex and he thinks it's sinful. And he's right.
He's been to prison. And he's like, I've got this shiv. What do I do with it?
He's just covered in offensive tattoos.
sort of like Martha Stewart in her nativity set. She's making the best of it.
Yeah.
The one she made prison.
Prison. At camp. What happened to you?
Okay, so it's so funny that you're talking about sink problems because over the weekend, I was at my mom's house and she has this cute little pantry with like a little utility sink, but it's very small. I want to say like it's, I don't know, maybe like a foot by a foot, like just a little square. And yeah. And the faucet has been doing this thing where to get it to turn off, I have to press down really hard and then jab a screwdriver into the top of it.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And my mom was like, please don't use it. I was like, no, where else am I going to wash my paintbrushes? I need this sink. I can just, I'll do it with the screwdriver. Oh, it's fine. God. Well, the screwdriver technique stopped working.
Oh, no.
And the sink doesn't drain that fast. And so it's starting to fill up and I'm panicking and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, Mom, come here. And she comes over and the water is just creeping up to the top of the sink. And we're both in like a royal state of panic. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs and get the towels. And she's like, no, those are the good towels. Go down to the basement. And she starts grabbing every single pot that she has and she starts filling water and running to the other sink. And there's just water all over the kitchen floor and the sink is overfilling. But the sink is in front of a window. So I open up the window and then I try and open up the screen.
The sink is going to flood out? You're trying to make the sink flood out?
I wanted to start tossing the water out the window.
Like the ship is sinking.
Yes. So the screen is stuck and I'm like, fuck it. This screen has holes. So I take a big pot of water and I toss it at the screen thinking that it's going to go out the screen, but it just ricocheted back into my face. And now there's water is all over the countertop. It's dripping down the cabinets. It's all over the floor. And I'm desperate at this point. I grab my mom's receptacle bin with the recycling still in it. I just start filling up that bin.
No,
and the cans and water bottles start floating to the top.
No.
And I run outside to dump it on the lawn. And so her lawn is now covered in like old cans of tuna fish.
Jesus Christ.
And And so I'm like, Mommy, go downstairs, shut off the water. And she's like, I don't even know if I know how to do that. And we're panicking. And I at one point, I was like, do I get a straw and just start drinking? Like, is that what I need to do here? Finally,
oh my God.
She was able to shut off the water. And I like was able to take the faucet apart and put it back together and fix it. But oh my God.
It's like water is out of control because it takes any shape. It cannot be contained, you know?
No.
It's like, it is like a 13-year-old girl who's discovering her voice and her sexuality. Yeah. You cannot contain it.
No.
It's like, I don't even remember what I was listening to, but it was some true crime something or other. And they were talking about how hard it is, how blood mm-hmm. just gets everywhere.
Oh.
And if you think that you could commit a crime uh-huh. and not get any blood anywhere,
yeah, you're wrong.
You've never done any light plumbing. you've never tried playing mm-hmm. with fake blood.
Mm-hmm.
It gets everywhere. You get one drop outside and all of a sudden your whole house is covered in blood. It's yep. like The Shining. It's like mm-hmm. coming out the elevators.
It's like a small neck there. Like, oh, that's nothing. And all of a sudden, you've walked from the bathroom to the kitchen. There's a trail of blood behind
there's blood everywhere.
And your family member comes in and is like, what the fuck happened? And you're like, I don't know. Nicked myself shaving.
'Twas a small nick. And there's just gushes of blood coming out of the walls for some reason.
Oh,
well,
man.
Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Bethany, we try to give out sex positive messages, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why we love being partners with Dipsy. It's this amazing audio erotica app that gives you sexy stories or amazing background music to fall asleep to, self-guided masturbation instructions.
No? Step by step, like a dance floor.
I'm telling you, like if you're looking for a good way to spice up your sex life, the stories on here, the one that I was listening to recently called Leather and Lace.
Ooh.
Bethany. It's about this woman and this guy, Sebastian, invites her to a costume party. And then a stranger is watching them walk around naked and hooking up. And then they see how far they can take it at a sex party that's disguised as a costume party.
I love a sex party disguised as a costume party. I've never been invited to one before. And if it makes you nervous and you're like, I don't know if that's for me, it's for you. They have sexy audio stories, but they even have like music you can fall asleep to or soundscapes you can fall asleep to. Like, I'm such a nerd. They have one of someone grading papers, and that's the first one I looked up because nerd. No matter what you're into, they have it. You can follow the same characters throughout different stories if you really connect with one. They have lady-lady stories, dude-dude stories, lady-dude stories, three ladies and a dude. And they also have wellness sessions to help you wind down and explore. Trust us. Take a look through this app. You are really going to like it.
And if you're feeling like maybe your libido isn't what it used to be, 5 seconds on this app, you're going to be like, who's around? Who's around to do me? Who's around?
So for listeners of our show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/taste.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/taste.
dipsystories.com/taste. Kathleen, Santa yes. Claus, whether you know, are into him or not.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus permeates our culture over here in the West, and he is in a lot of things. He's in Coca-Cola commercials.
Mm-hmm.
He's praying over Santa in the nativity scene.
Oh, you mean Jesus? Yeah, he's praying over Jesus.
Jesus, yeah, sorry, yeah. He's praying over Jesus. Whoa. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He's in Coca-Cola commercials, and but he's also been in a lot of different forms of media in really strange ways. Mm. And so in honor of Christmas this week, I'm going to tell you some of the most bizarre depictions of Santa Claus.
Oh.
And I want to shout out the website denofgeek.com. An article by Daniel Kurland had the majority of these.
Okay,
so shout out.
Oh, I'm excited.
I don't think you've heard of a lot of these because a lot of these are either like bizarre movies or video games. And I don't think you're a video game person.
I'm not.
I'm certainly not. Okay.
Is there a death Santa who only delivers coffins and dresses in all black?
No, I wish, Kathleen. A girl can hope.
Ooh, that's your next script idea with Dennis. Death Santa.
Death Santa. Well, we do have a bizarre Santa scary movie coming up starring Fran Drescher.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, I know. It's real. It's going to be a big deal. All right, let's start with this Nintendo game, okay. Super Nintendo game called Secret of Mana or Mana. It came out in 1993 for Super NES, and it's an action role-playing game. It's about three characters, and it was really hard for me to figure out what the overall story of this video game was.
Huh.
Here's what I figured out roughly.
Okay.
It's three characters. One of them is you. One of them is like a princess.
Hmm.
And then one of them is like another guy.
Okay.
And you're trying to do something regarding seeds and an evil empire and a sprite. And there's something about a tree that used to be a lady, and there's a sword and a waterfall.
Okay. But seeds. You're trying to do something with seeds?
Something with seeds. Like there's like, these six
are
or
they
eight
GMO
seeds.
Free? What's so special about them?
Kathleen, I don't even know. I couldn't figure that out. There's something about these seeds, and then the empire gets the seeds and blows the seeds up or something, and then someone blows the tree up, and it's real. Oh. It's a lot, but it's a fantasy, high fantasy. So at the end, there's a boss level. And you know about boss levels in video games. You have to, you know, it's a big, like, end cap. You have to beat the boss, you win.
Oh, well, that's what I learned today. I learned about boss levels in video games.
Yeah, there's boss levels. Like, okay. you know, every once in a while you're playing Best Fiends, and it's like there's nothing you have to do except defeat the one slug.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That's a boss level.
Yeah.
The boss level, there's a boss called Frost Gigas, and he looks like a huge blue ogre, and he's wearing like a dark blue puffer vest, and he has bracelets.
It's appropriate for the time, you think?
Yeah, totally. And he is probably 10 times bigger than you and your buddies.
Oh.
And you have to battle it out with him using all of your different, you know, tools that you've gathered throughout your adventure. And then once you beat him, he straight up turns into Santa Claus.
What?
And not like some trippy, weird Santa Claus. He is just a jolly old elf in a red suit with a red pointy hat. He's just Santa Claus.
Oh my, that is, you know, I'm thinking about like fever dreams where what you're doing, no matter what, who you're doing it with, that other person just turns into Santa Claus. Like imagine you're having a sex dream about your ex and then you look down and you're banging Santa Claus. Like that's fucking terrifying.
You're reverse cowgirling Santa Claus.
Oh God.
So after you turn him into Santa Claus, he tells you that he was changed into a big scary boss because children stopped believing in him.
Oh my God.
Because nothing is more rewarding after winning a boss battle than being ladled a giant serving of sadness and guilt. Merry Christmas.
Did you, speaking of children who stop believing, did you see that viral video of that kid walking up to Alexa and being like, hey, Alexa, can reindeer fly? And Alexa is like, no, reindeer actually can't fly. And the kid turns to his dad, who's doing one of these like freaking out, jerking head movements. And the dad's like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So funny.
Alexa, you're ruining someone's childhood.
Yes, you are.
Let's talk about the movie Santa's Slay, S-L-A-Y.
This sounds like a really fun drag queen movie. Please tell me I'm right.
I wish you were right. I think it would probably have been a better movie. This was a 2005 slasher comedy movie starring pro wrestler Bill Goldberg as Santa.
Oh.
It also stars, as I mentioned earlier, Fran Drescher, Rebecca Gayheart from Urban Legend and other things.
Uh-huh.
And because it was 2005, Chris Kattan.
All-star cast.
Yes. Here's the premise.
Uh-huh.
On Christmas Eve, Santa comes down the chimney of the Mason family and proceeds to murder the entire Mason family in various Christmas ways.
Actually, this sounds kind of entertaining. Did you watch it?
No, I did watch the trailer.
Okay.
I also thought it sounded interesting, but in the trailer, we see Santa assault a woman after saying, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, God.
Drop kick a dog into a ceiling fan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Run an old man over and straight up blow two children up. And then the trailer ends with Santa saying, I hate children.
Oh, you know what? Forget the naughty list. Santa needs to be on the I'm going to prison list for all that shit.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So after he comes down the chimney, he drowns Fran Drescher in eggnog. He uses the star on the top of the Christmas tree as a ninja throwing star on the dad and then chokes the dad with a turkey leg. He also kills a Jewish guy with the guy's own menorah.
No.
And then we learn why he's doing this. Here's the deal. Santa is Satan's only son. He's the result of a virgin birth produced by Satan, the same way Jesus is the result of a virgin birth by God.
Oh my God.
So Christmas was the day of slaying for Santa until the year 1005, when he lost a bet, you see. And as Santa's punishment, this angel he was betting against sentenced him to deliver presents on Christmas for 1,000 years.
Oh my God.
So he was never doing it out of the kindness of his heart. He was doing it to repay a bet. And I think the bet was over a curling match. I'm not positive.
Oh, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah. So this means that the year 2005, which is the year the movie came out, Santa was finally free to kill again.
It's clever. The whole premise. Pretty clever.
It's clever.
Very fucked up. How do movies like this get funding?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I bet, you know, I mean, it was, I don't know. It was Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a big deal. She still is. She's the president of SAG-AFTRA. So she's my president.
That's true. Okay. Here's another sort of like PG version of that, a plot line I just thought of. Santa takes a 23andMe test and realizes that he was not originally a part of the Kris Kringle lineage. He's actually adopted, and both of his parents forgot to tell him that. So therefore, Santa, his delivery service, comes to an end because he doesn't have the true DNA makeup and magic to make Christmas happen.
Yeah, he's wondering why he's always so tired when all of his relatives seem to be able to do this like without a problem. And he's just like downing 5-hour energy on Christmas night, like really just trying to make this all happen. And they're all like, why are you having such a hard time delivering all these gifts around the world? And he's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Turns out there's nothing wrong with him. Mm-hmm. He's just not a Saint Nicholas of the Kris Kringle family lineage, family arms.
That actually would be a pretty interesting movie, and how you overcome life's biggest obstacles to find your own magic.
Yeah. Or his doctor does what my psychiatrist said she was going to do, which is put him on the Judy Garland plan, which is uppers and downers just to make you get through work.
Uppers and downers, uppers and downers. That'd be a good song.
We didn't do it. Yeah. But she suggested it. And I said no. Okay. So, Kathleen, I want you to look at your phone and the picture I just sent you.
Okay. I am looking.
Now, this is Klaus. Mm. Klaus is a comic book from writer Grant Morrison, artist Dan Mora, where they have reimagined Santa as a super hot forest man.
I was just going to say, like, this Santa is definitely bangable.
Can you describe this bangable Santa?
Okay. First of all, he has brown chocolate silky hair and not like, you know, white hair. He does still have a beard, but it's very neatly groomed. Very, yeah. I'm sure he uses beard conditioner. He's got a little bit of a ponytail, but not a man bun, you know? So he's like, he's manly, but he still cares. He's wearing a vest, like a metal suit of armor, but only the vest. And you can see his ab muscles right through it. And then he has like a little cap sleeve that's a bronze metal cap sleeve. And it's like very becoming. But then you see his bulging bicep muscles and his tricep muscles coming out of that. And he's also holding a sword over one arm, over one shoulder. And he's got this big belt because he's a big guy and he needs a big buckle. And he's also holding a skull, an animal skull. What kind of animal is that? A deer?
It's probably a reindeer. Yeah, big deer.
Wow. He is like Santa if he were much younger, brunette, and living in Williamsburg, but next to the Equinox and the Whole Foods. So he's like working out a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, he looks like if your parents owned a farm and they hired this townsman who doesn't say much, but he's been helping on the farm for years. And like, now that you've come back to visit and now that you're, you know, an adult, you're finally coming into your own sexuality and realizing how hot this farm laborer is.
Yeah.
He doesn't say much, but you can see most of what he feels in his eyes, and what he feels is filthy.
He sort of looks like the brown, brawny toweling paper guy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is Santa. Mm. So here in these books, Santa is a Norse barbarian who lives in the woods with his pet wolf, Lily, which makes him even hotter because he loves animals.
Well, and I also like the juxtaposition between like the very feminine floral name Lily, but it's a wolf.
Yeah, it's a wolf. It all takes place in the town of Grimsvig, where joy is forbidden and the Yuletide is against the law. So our boyfriend Klaus steals presents from the monarchy and gives them to little kids, which makes him even hotter because he's a nice guy.
The Peter Pan of Santa Claus.
Yes, exactly. Or like the Robin Williams, the Robin Hood.
That's what I meant. The Robin Hood.
So you like Santa and you want to date Santa.
The Peter Pan of Santa Claus is, instead of delivering presents, he comes and steals the children and they all go live on a ship. And
yeah. And he steals your daughter. And while everyone else gets to be forever kids, he makes her be the mother.
Oh, God. Oh.
That's perpetuating an awful stereotype. Oh, man. I wrote, move over, Oscar Isaac. Klaus is the internet's new boyfriend. He's hot. He's real hot.
Yeah, he is.
All right. Let's talk about robot Santa Claus. Huh. Did you ever watch Futurama?
Yes, briefly.
So in the future, Christmas has turned into a forbidden time that you dread.
Oh.
This is from Den of Geek, that website.
Yeah.
Santa has become a patrolling Gestapo-like figure who kills everyone on his naughty list due to a programming error that gives him impossibly high standards.
Oh my God.
Except for Dr. Zoidberg, to whom he gives a pogo stick. He's also gone about turning Neptune into his galactic North Pole, transforming it into a veritable 1984-esque slave world in the process.
Oh my God.
So, for instance, he once put a sweet old man who was just sitting on his front steps on the naughty list because the man dabbed his nose. Oh my and Santa goes, I saw that.
How dare you have mucus in your nostrils? How dare you?
Apparently, Fox insisted that the first episode with Santa move from Futurama's usual 7 p.m. time slot to 9:30 because it was such a dark take on the holidays.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Here's a couple things that Santa has said. Mistletoe is no match for my toe missile. And he has a rocket launcher that says T.O.W on it, his toe missile. And then at one point, someone says, my God, the real Santa, go get him, Jesus. And then Zoidberg, who's dressed as Jesus, pops out from behind a doorway and says, I help those who help themselves, which I thought was very funny.
You know, have you seen, speaking of violent Santas, have you seen the viral video from Instagram where there's this little British boy and he's wearing his school uniform, and obviously his dad is like, well, you have to behave because I heard from Santa. He called me this morning and you're on the naughty list. And the little boy is so mad and indignant about the whole thing. He's like, I'm not on the naughty list. I'm going to uppercut Santa. And then he starts doing like uppercut movements. I'm not on the naughty list. I'm going to uppercut Santa if I'm on the naughty list.
I think maybe we see now why he's on the naughty list.
Yeah, because he's going to beat the shit out of Santa to get on the nice list.
His initial instinct is violence.
Kids these days.
So there's an episode of South Park called Red Sleigh Down where Santa brings Christmas to Iraq when his sleigh is shot down by a man portable rocket launcher. However, I'm actually going to talk about, I have no notes on this. I'm just doing this from my heart.
Yeah.
This is an honorable mention. This is L. Frank Baum's story reimagined by Rankin and Bass, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus.
Okay.
This is a film that was so upsetting that it only aired on TV once, and that happened to be the year that my parents recorded it. So we grew up watching this videotape every single year, thinking everyone knew about this movie, when in actuality, very few people know about this movie.
Wait, what was the title of the movie?
The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus.
Okay.
So written by the same guy who wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It is about this forest committee of different immortal beings.
Okay.
And they all meet at this round table in the middle of the forest of Bursey. And the head of this table is a giant man wearing, he has a long, long beard. He looks like Ian McKellen, but he has giant antlers on his head as a hat.
Is this claymation?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's stop motion. Yeah. And he has called this meeting of all of the different immortal beings because he wants to bring Santa Claus into the family as an immortal. Okay. And then he walks us through, that's the framing device, he walks us through Santa's whole life and all the good he's done. Mm-hmm. Santa started out as an orphan boy.
Oh.
And then he grows up and he learns to make toys, and then he wants to give the toys to little kids. He's carving them from wood. At one point, the Great Axe, when he's still a little boy, has him hold on to the Great Axe belt like he's his wife in jail, and they fly over the world, and the Great Axe shows him all of these awful things that are happening to little kids. Like, they fly over Japan and they watch a Japanese teacher watch one little boy beat the shit and maybe kill, another little boy with a stick.
What?
And then the little boy's just laying there, and then they fly on. And Santa's like, why is the world so cruel? And Great Axe is like, that's just the way humans are. It's real tough.
This is a children's movie?
Yeah. So okay. Then they're
But Bethany, I'm looking at a picture of the Great Axe right now on Google Images.
Yeah.
And it's literally like if Angelina Jolie and Malevolent, is that the name of the movie?
Yeah.
It's
Maleficent.
Maleficent. She wears those kind of like that horn hat in that movie too.
Yeah.
It looks like that, but if she were an old, over-tanned man with a long white beard.
Yeah, it's a cool look. It really is a very cool look. So anyway, it's the story of how Santa keeps trying to do all these nice things just as a regular human, but these like gremlin goblin monsters keep stealing all the toys
oh my
and
God.
Like putting him in a bag and I think having them guarded by a dragon or something. It's been a while. And then finally, all of these immortals and fairies and stuff come and they like battle all the bad guys to like save the toys and let Santa go on his deliveries. And finally, spoiler alert, one night Santa's like asleep. He's sleeping the sleep of the dead, you know, like he's on his last leg. And they put it like they just put like a felt blanket over him and it glows a little bit. And now he's immortal.
Bethany. Okay, you need to go and find that VHS because as far as I can tell, this movie cannot be purchased or watched online.
What?
Bethany, wait, hang on. I'm Googling this right now because I typed in The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus and I went to shopping and nothing comes up except for an illustrated book and that is it.
So that was the original book. So I know you can watch a few clips on YouTube, but I don't know if they have the full video or not. I will see what I can do about that. It's great.
I don't think that the full movie is anywhere and you might be sitting on a gold mine, my friend.
I mean, this is how I'm going to make my first million.
It was on Warner Brothers, apparently, because a lot of these screenshots have the WB in the corner.
Okay. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's really great. If you are a really big fan of tall, tall men wearing, you know, antler hats, or if you have kind of a thing for fairies, there's some like real cute little pixie ladies in this. Or if you like a ladybug lady where instead of hair, she has just like a giant red ladybug shell as hair that you really want to stick a pin in because it looks like a delicious pin cushion.
Ooh, the horniest of the insects.
Yeah. Get yourself some Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. I'll see what I can do when I go home to my mom's house.
You could sell like copies of it.
That's called pirating.
But like if you can't get it anywhere else, is it really pirating? You're just making
definitely
content available to the public that should already be available.
Definitely think it's still pirating.
But it's like Christmas pirating, so it's different.
If you're a cop, let us know. Is it different if it's Christmas pirating? You know, for the season.
Let me set the scene for you, Bethany.
Okay.
Christmas Day, my family and I, we're going to make filet mignons on the grill outside. And if you're like, huh, Kathleen, this is winter. It's going to be too cold. We already have everything set up. We're going to light our solo stove, our portable fire pit, the smokeless portable fire pit. And we're going to drink mulled wine around our solo stove while dinner is cooking.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Anyone who has a solo stove right now, you should be using it over the holidays. Because it's a smokeless fire pit, you're not going to go back inside reeking of a campfire. If you had to do outdoor stuff last year and you had like a fire pit going, it's great. It's cozy. But you go inside smelling like you've been camping and all your clothes smell smoky and gross and it's tough. Solo stove saves you from that.
You know that sort of that fire pit shift you have to do the dance? We know the smoke starts to blow one way and everybody sort of like does the ring around the rosy or around the fire pit to avoid the smoke. You don't have to do that with solo stove. And the best part about it is that you don't even have to have like a permanent, you don't have to have a mason come over and put in a fire pit that costs you thousands of dollars. You can have this amazing fire pit that you can take with you to the beach. You can take with you camping. And last time I used it, I made hot dogs, with a skewer on my solo stove and they were delicious.
The solo stove fire pits are brilliantly engineered. They're made with premium grade 304 stainless steel. There's a 360 degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. And it's really easy to light with just a few bits of starter. Your fire is going to be blazing in minutes. And like Kathleen said, you can pick it up and take it wherever you're going. Make sure that you don't have it lit when you're taking it wherever you're going. But it's super portable. So let the gifting begin.
Shop Solo Stove's holiday sale for huge site-wide savings now through the end of the year and get $10 off with the promo code TASTE plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns.
Get an extra $10 off holiday deals at solostove.com, promo code TASTE. Kathleen, I know we say this every year, but the holidays come faster and faster every single year. And that's okay, because you know what? That's the way it is. But I was getting ready to pack to go home. And I was like, what am I have so much stuff I need to pack. And then I remembered I have my Faherty cardigan. It's the winter frost cardigan. And it made packing so much easier because it's like the only thing I'm going to be wearing when I'm home. It's cozy. It's beautiful. And it goes with everything because Faherty is a brand that is high quality and is timeless and goes with everything.
I love that we've partnered up at Faherty because this the new top that I just got from them, the Willa top, it's still like preppy enough to make me feel like I'm put together, but it just has like that kiss of California cool that makes me say to myself, ooh, who is she?
Who's that lady? She's fancy.
And also, Faherty is a family-run business. How many times can you say that about the stores that you shop in, particularly clothing brands? You can't say that.
If you love clothing that feels like you've, like flannels, that you've been wearing them for years and they're super soft, or beautiful dresses that you can still wear long after you've popped that champagne cork and then woken up in the bathtub, that's Faherty.
And they're so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee of quality, which means they'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what.
And to top it all off, Faherty is giving all of our listeners 20% off right now. That's 20% off. That's 1/5 off.
So if you're looking for a last minute gift, it's not too late to get your favorite people a Faherty gift card. With that in mind, though, don't forget to treat yourself too. Listeners of an Acquired Taste podcast get 20% off of their first order.
So visit FahertyBrand.com/taste and use the code TASTE at checkout. That's the code TASTE at FahertyBrand.com/taste to get 20% off.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
When was the last time you cleaned your windows?
Oh, man. It's been a while and I need to because there's definitely cat sneeze marks on them. but it's hard. It's hard and it takes arm labor.
And the reason I say this is because I myself was just cleaning my physical windows early this morning because the Shade Store is here right now to install some solar shades. Ooh. Because I care about the environment.
You're a good person, Kathleen.
And while I was cleaning my windows, I like did some deep thinking and I was like, so I'm cleaning my physical windows. Mm-hmm. When was the last time I cleaned the windows to my soul?
Your eyes?
No, just, Bethany, the windows to your soul. Yeah, your eyes. But also the way you see the world.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Right? That probably needs some, there's probably some cat sneeze marks on that too.
And I thought about it like, when was the last time I really took like a good deep look about how I'm looking at the world? But windows, most of the time, unless it's, you know, Law and Order, windows go both ways. So when was the last time that you cleaned the outside of your metaphorical windows to the soul for the way that the world looks in at you?
How do you do that?
Okay, so that's what I got. I was thinking about that and I was like, if someone were to stand up tomorrow and give a eulogy about me, it would be how they saw me through my soul window.
I have to give you so much credit for taking this window metaphor, is ultimately explaining why we might hear drilling noises in the background of your track this morning.
Yeah.
And really using it to expound upon your topic. And I give you credit for that.
I'm Bethany. Listen, my topic is writing your own eulogy. And I'm really trying my hardest to work in some of this background noise because, you know, the joys from working at home and you're a podcaster. Yeah.
Did you warm up before making that stretch of a transition?
Bethany, I got up at 6 and I was cleaning my windows and I was like, okay, how am I going to work today, like this into what I'm talking about today?
You know, we should do that as a topic. At some point we should do like, I'm giving you two topics. You have to make, you have to transition one topic into the other topic and make it work.
Okay. So in more seriousness, do you know what your family and close friends would say about you at your funeral?
Oh.
Like when they stand up in front of the church or the memorial service or, I don't know, in my case, a rosé pizza party that I meticulously planned out prior to my death. Do you have any idea of what these people closest to you in your life are going to say about you?
I think that they would say, I think that they would remember the moments where I was really funny and very light and happy. And I think that I feel like my moods are a little bit like an abusive relationship where like when it's good, it's good. Like I'm not abusive, but like, you know, the highs and the lows of a really bad relationship where when it's really good, it's good. It's so good. But when it's down, it's really down. And so I think that my family would choose to remember like the really happy, funny moments where, you know, we're all laughing really hard and I'm telling a funny story and blah, blah, blah. And like choosing to sort of gloss over the moments where I was like really down and see them as, you know, she pushed through and she was strong. And it's a shame that that boulder hit her so hard.
Would you say the moments that you want to be most remembered by are when you were really happy and you were making others happy also?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be remembered for the times that like my family always tells a story where when I was in fifth grade, I won this trip for being the best crossing guard in my school because I've always been a nerd. And so I was gone in Washington, D.C. for a week and my family went out to dinner and I guess to celebrate that I wasn't there. And they were like, they said in the middle of dinner, they were like, oh, it's really it was just really quiet. It was, they're like, it's really boring without Bethany. Oh. They all just kind of like looked at each other and like, oh, this is kind of boring. Oh. So I think those are the kind of moments that they would choose to remember.
Yeah.
And not the times that I, you know, made the kitchen sink explode when I poked a hole in the bottom of it.
So I too also want to be remembered for the times that I made people laugh or invited them into my home. But I think that a lot of us don't spend enough time thinking about those treasured moments, and we spend too much time thinking about things that wouldn't necessarily aid in a eulogy, things that would look good on a resume.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because a eulogy is a life well lived, and an obituary is more sort of a resume. And so the things that people get caught up on, making enough money and having fancy things and getting that new fancy job title. I'm thinking about this at the end of the year to sort of try and put 2022 in a different perspective for me, because at the end of the day, when I am dead and everyone's talking about me at my memorial service, are they going to say like, wow, Kathleen had 6 years of podcasting under her belt and she had 100,000 followers and she had so much in her 401k, you know? And those are things obviously that give you means to a good life.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering collectively as a whole, if the majority of us, the majority of at least American society, are we focusing too much on life success in the resume format? Mm-hmm. And not enough on life success in the eulogy format.
You know, I think it's really interesting you're bringing this up right now, especially because, you know, we're heading into almost year three of this pandemic. We're seeing a lot of groups of employees say, you know, we want to unionize or we want to be working from home more, and understanding that there is more to life than work, and having had all of this time, especially at the beginning when people weren't sure what work looked like. And so a lot of people were just off looking at what life looks like when you're not working 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
And this pandemic has caused some of that for people, but also I think it's caused some career panic because, like, for me, I feel like I've lost 2 years of my career because I haven't been able to go out and network and do what I need to do. And this is such a good reminder that even though work is such a huge part of what this pandemic has done to us and the way that we view it, I think we should be pulling back and seeing the bigger picture more and more. Because you're right, it is also how you make people feel. And, you know, you need to make money to live in this capitalist society, but you also need to remain a good person along the way. And it can be really hard to pull back and see that bigger picture.
Yes, because how you will be remembered on the day of your funeral, when other people are giving eulogies about you, they are going to remember the way you treated others. They are going to remember the way that you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And your resume, that won't matter. The true essence of who you are, that's your eulogy. And if you think that maybe you're a boring person and you get down on yourself because you're just a normal, ordinary person, that absolutely does not mean that you aren't making a difference in this world.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because even though you're not the boss at your company, or you don't have the nicest house on the block, or you're not the one who gives the fanciest gifts at Christmas, that doesn't mean that every time you invite someone over for a cup of tea to listen to their problems, or you offer a friend, you say, I'm going to babysit, you go out for the night, or your friend's washing machine breaks and you say, come over and do your laundry here. You know, my home is always open to you. It's these little things mm-hmm. that people are going to remember about you mm-hmm. and they're not going to be like, oh, man, that fancy job title, that made her a good, that's why I was so lucky to know her.
Wouldn't you be so mad if you're standing in the back of the whatever of the the pizza parlor during watching mm-hmm. watching your funeral and you just see every single person who talks about you is just talking about your Fidelity portfolio. Because that's all they know about you. And you're just like, but I also liked golf. But I also thought the world of all of you. What the? And they're all just like, and wow, he was diversified. My goodness. He bought Apple stock so early.
So early. He really knew how to make that. What is it called when you have income when you're not working for it?
Passive?
Yes. He was the queen of passive income, or the king of passive income. And that's what I cherish most about our friendship. You know? Would you say, Bethany, right now, you are living your life in the way that you hope to be remembered?
Yeah. Actually, yes. I think mm-hmm. I am. I think I'm, and I'll say this, mm-hmm. I think it's holding me back.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Bethany, that's not where I saw this going.
But here's the thing. I am learning more and more that in the industry I'm in, which is the entertainment industry, you have to be a bit ruthless. You have to, like, the people who are successful are like kind of ruthless and a little bit schemey.
Yeah.
And I think that not being that way is holding me back. However, I am really proud of the way that I treat people. And if it means that I'm not going to get as far in my career, I'm okay with that. You know, I would rather... I don't want to sell my soul. Now, ask me in like 6 months, I may want to sell my soul. I'm close. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm super close to selling my soul at this point.
So you know what? Someone could stand up at your funeral and give the eulogy like, Bethany, she had a lot of ambition, and at least she was honest about selling her soul to be successful.
And then you just see a poof of smoke and Satan shows up and he's like, ha ha, hey, fuckers.
Can you imagine somebody standing up at someone's funeral like, Dan, man, that guy, he was the finest con artist this side of the Mason-Dixon. Actually, that would be a great eulogy.
I feel like we don't use the Mason-Dixon enough to describe people on this side of things.
No, I had a boyfriend sophomore year of high school who said that to me once, and I've been ever so trying to work it into many conversations.
I had a friend who used to always say, such is life in the big city, and we lived in Eau Claire, like, I don't know, but I use it all the time because of her. What about you? Do you feel like people would eulogize you in the way that you would want them to right now, the way you're living your life?
I think maybe like I'm 50% of the way there.
Really?
You know, I would love people to be like, oh, man, Kathleen, she always knew how to like cheer me up. Or Kathleen, she always, you know, would welcome me into her home to feed me dinner. But also, sometimes I think that my mindset is holding me back.
What's your mindset?
Well, sometimes I feel like, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work out. Or, this is a disaster.
Oh, wow.
You know, or, man, I don't look good enough to go to that party.
Wow.
And changing my mindset is something that I've been trying to focus on lately. Like, always seeing the greener side of the grass. And toxic positivity is a thing. And that is not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about like, I am way too old to do that. But instead of having that type of mindset, being like, well, man, I have a lot of experiences, but there's still a lot of, you know, room for adventure underneath my belt.
I'll say this, and I don't know if this helps. When we are talking about this podcast or just life and what we want to do, you are always the ideas person.
Oh.
And I don't know what goes on in your head and what you must be holding back, like what amazing ideas you must be holding back if the ones that are coming out are so incredible. So I think that you are being really hard on yourself, because I do see you as being somebody who is going out and like taking these risks and doing stuff and trying things. But if you feel like you're really hard on yourself, which you are, by the way, super hard on yourself, I think that it's a good thing for you to try to like
reset my mind.
Reset your mind, yeah, and sort of like make that hard and fast wall sort of get a little bit liquidy and, you know, semi-osmotic.
Thank you. It's like,
that's not the right word.
Mindset reset. You know, I know people who are like, oh man, my house is such a mess, or man, my car is really shitty, or nothing in my closet is really that nice. Mm. You know, and to some extent, you could be like, oh, you know, like how your mom used to do when you're a little, well, you're lucky to have a house at all. Some people live in a cardboard box.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, you're lucky to have a car. Some people take the bus.
Yeah. You know?
And, you know, to some extent, things like that work. Like, oh, man, what a shitty day. But instead of saying that to yourself, like, man, this cup of coffee I had this morning was like so delicious, and today was not the greatest, but tomorrow I'm going to have the same cup of coffee and something to look forward to.
And it makes such a difference. When I poked that hole in the U pipe this morning, I was getting really frustrated. And then I was like, this is really funny.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly the kind of thing that's going to happen on the day you're leaving to go home for the holidays. It's really funny.
There you go.
And what are you going to do? You gotta fix it. You have no choice, but you might as well laugh about it.
Got to roll with the punches. Instead of having like a meltdown, woe is me, you're like, we could talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, and we will. Podcast content.
Maybe everybody should just walk around with like a little notepad in their phone that says podcast content. And then you just write down the stories that you think if you had a podcast, you could tell on the podcast.
It's good for your memoir.
Because we do have, I mean, each of us, we have control over our mindset, and resetting it is just a matter of finding yourself in moments of despair and moments of woe is me, and then just like thinking past that over the fence to find the brighter moment. I think what I really want people to say, and like my friends, I probably should send this to them as like, you know, guidelines for when they're giving my eulogy.
You don't get to send guidelines. Like, that sort of defeats the purpose of how they view you. You can't be like, and just making sure you view me correctly, here are the talking points.
Here are the talking points for my eulogy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to put that in my will at the reading of the will. Readings of the will happen after the funeral. Okay, well, I'm going to put a directive, give my legal counsel the directive to like read the will before the funeral.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, but then
no, people will be mad.
Okay.
Maybe there's someone in charge who like as soon as you pass, an email goes out. Like there's an email blast with your talking points. Like, we're sorry to let you know that Kathleen has passed away. She is now in the arms of an angel, but along with all those really sad shelter dogs. But here are her directives for the eulogy.
So if bad things happen to you, it's easy to assume the worst because you've been burned in the past, right?
Right.
And then you go through life and you're grumpy and you're like, I failed when I was trying my hardest. And it makes you feel sad. It makes you feel unsuccessful or mediocre. These are the moments in 2022 where I'm going to change my mindset. And I'm just going to say to myself, like, hashtag eulogy, what would your eulogy think of you right now? Like, are you behaving according to your eulogy?
Like, the eulogy is this sentience that's just like, it's like the elf on the shelf, but for all year round and a little bit more dark.
Yes. Or like, you know, when people are recovering addicts and they think of that one person they want to be better for?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to find that person and name that person eulogy. Okay, so if you want to be remembered for having really fun dinner parties, but you don't ever host them because your house isn't big enough or your table isn't nice enough or you aren't that good of a cook, these are things that people are not going to remember about you when you're dead and they're celebrating you. They're going to remember that you are always like, yeah, come over, you know, whatever. They're not going to remember that you always fed them a bowl of SpaghettiOs because you had no skills in the kitchen whatsoever. And actually, like years from now, people might say like, oh, man, if I could just have one more steaming, piping hot bowl of SpaghettiOs with Kathleen, that would make my day.
The things that go awful are the ones we remember. My sister came and visited me
yes.
in New York once, and the entire trip was a disaster. And we looked so fondly on that trip. The whole thing just fell apart. Every single thing we tried to do was awful and was so much fun as a result. We wouldn't remember just a perfect, ideal trip.
Can you just, I don't know, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Can you write your eulogy for yourself right now?
Oh, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's giving mm-hmm. it? From who to who? From whose perspective am I giving this eulogy?
From a friend or close family member.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to give it from your perspective, I think, because you are in this unique position where you know me the way my family knows me, mm-hmm. but you also see the work me, which is what me my family never sees. And I've been informed it's interesting.
Okay, so I accept. I would love to give the eulogy at your funeral. Okay. Is this a formal invitation?
Yes, this is a formal invitation. When you finally murder me mm-hmm, mm-hmm. after I've stolen all of our money and you murder me in retaliation. I was just going to say
that. Yeah, you always start to steal all the money in our shared bank account. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this is the eulogy. Thank you all for coming to Bethany's funeral extravaganza and for wearing the required veil and top hat that was requested mm-hmm. in the formal invitations mm-hmm. in the Evites. Bethany was a complicated person. She had her highs. She had her lows. Mm. I think we can all agree that there were times that her face said one thing. Her face looked angry a lot. She always seemed like she looked angry. But then if you really talked to her, she mm-hmm. wasn't angry at all. It was just her face. Wouldn't you all agree she had one of those faces, and then everyone sort of laughs because they all know.
In the audience, they're like, bitch, you
and then some guy in the back goes, whoop, whoop, and no whoop, one knows whoop. Who he is. Mm-mm. He doesn't even go here. But you know what? One thing I know about Bethany is that she always tried. Mm. She always wanted to make sure that people were taken care of and that the people mm-hmm. around her felt good, mm-hmm. even when she wasn't always able to do that for herself. She loved making people laugh. She loved performing. She loved her family and her friends and her cats. She loved her partner, Dennis. She truly is sorry that she murdered him and that he cannot be here today. But she's also excited that she never got caught. And then there's a cop in the back who goes, God damn it, I knew it. And then the guy in the back goes, whoop, whoop. And again, we don't know who he is. And then you continue. Bethany truly tried her hardest every day to overcome her mm-hmm. demons, mm-hmm. to get far in life, to build a mm-hmm. career she was proud of. But at the end of the day, I hope everyone in this room knows that she loved you fiercely, even if mm-hmm. she didn't always text back on time because it caused her severe anxiety, or she didn't check her Instagram DMs as much as she wanted to because it caused her severe anxiety, or she didn't call as much because it caused her severe anxiety. She loves you all deeply, and she truly tried her hardest. She would be pleased to see this cathedral filled with thousands of people today. Hmm. And then the guy in the back goes, whoop, whoop, and then the cop arrests him.
For public indecency, because he's naked.
Because he's naked, Kathleen, with just a beer helmet on.
Okay, so Bethany, I'm going to disagree with the part. You added some of the things that you feel are your shortcomings to that eulogy.
Yeah, definitely.
Like always trying her hardest, not responding back fast enough, maybe not taking care of herself the way she should have taken care of herself. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, those are not things that people are going to say about you in your eulogy, because when you are dead, it doesn't matter how hard you tried at life. It matters how you made the people around you feel.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sort of like the icing that I'm trying to scratch off on this cake of life. You know, it's cream cheese icing. Oh. It's very hard to find on the market right now. Good.
Cream cheese shortage, but my God.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
totally.
You added your shortcomings as like what made you you. Those things don't make you you.
That's so interesting.
And yet you didn't even realize that you were doing it.
No, uh-uh.
If I were going to give your eulogy tomorrow, I would get up and say, Bethany taught me that it was okay to be vulnerable. And Bethany taught me that being your weird, lovely self is one of the best ways you can celebrate life. You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, all those times she never texted me back, you know? And, you know, Bethany loved being a performer. She really knew how to tug at people's heartstrings, because the way you felt after watching her perform, you were either happy or profoundly sad or creeped out. You were always touched in some way. You know, she was never one to shy away from the dramatic flair. And she was a good person. She cared about the earth. She inspired me to care about animals in a way that I never thought about caring about animals. And she was the first one who would take a step back and say, hey, if you need to take a nap, we'll work on whatever we need to work on tomorrow, because sleeping is important. And I didn't think that sleeping was that important before I met Bethany. I actually thought that, you know, sleep when you're dead was the thing to subscribe to in life. But Bethany taught me differently, you know?
I'm a nap pusher.
I wouldn't say like, well, she tried her hardest, but now she's dead. And I'm laughing, but I'm also crying at the same time, because, you know, thinking deeply about this is something that's, it's a little bit scary.
Of course. Of course.
I would be like, oh man, remember that one time Bethany and I, we were over at her house and we were laying, do you remember that carpet she had, that beautiful soft carpet? And we were laying there playing with her cats, and I was just looking around her room at all of her Victorian treasures hung up on the wall. And I just thought, man, what a unique, wonderful person this is in my life, you know?
That's so nice.
I wouldn't be like, she didn't land that commercial for diarrhea medicine. She tried her hardest.
That's so nice. That's so nice.
And so it's just, it's that mindset that I'm talking about. The mindset in which you live your life not thinking about what you didn't and thinking about what you do.
What would your eulogy be? What do you think people would say about you?
This is what I would want my friends and family to say about me. For those of us who knew Kathleen, and that's probably all of us in the room, because why else would you be here?
There's just one guy who showed up in the background because he thought that this was just like a rager.
You know that her purse was always messy. But the wonderful thing about that, she always had everything. If you needed a wrench, it was in her purse. If you needed a toothbrush, it was in her purse. If you needed tax returns from the year 2010, maybe your mom's tax returns from the year 2010, it was probably in Kathleen's purse.
Yep. Yep.
And a different way to approach it, in a previous mindset, I might have approached that bit about me being messy like, man, Kathleen's house, she always had dirty dishes and there were clothes everywhere, but she loved us. That isn't the eulogy mindset. Mm-hmm. The eulogy mindset is she always had what we needed at the moment we needed it, mm-hmm. because her purse was a mess and it was in her purse. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Can I say the one thing, the story I would tell if I was giving your eulogy?
Oh, please do.
This is the story.
Was I beautiful? Was I dressed glamorously,
Kathleen,
in the story?
In my memory, you were wearing a goddamn ball gown.
Okay, and not like the food-stained sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now that I've been wearing for 4 days straight.
You do need to shower. Go take a shower. I'll wait.
The sports bra underneath my sweatshirt that's so saggy that the only thing covering my nipples are the straps that are supposed to be up around my shoulders.
I saw an Amazon review for a sports bra once that said it's somehow too small and also too big. No, the story I would tell is when my appendix had fallen out and exploded at the same time. And you came over, and because I couldn't lift anything, I couldn't do anything. Yeah. You came over with a couple of our friends, and you immediately went straight into my kitchen. You found all of the glasses you could find, and you filled them all up with water because you knew that I would not be able to lift the water pitcher myself because it was too heavy, but also you knew I had to stay hydrated. And so for like the next couple days, anytime I needed to drink water, I just went over to my counter and there was a glass already filled up by you. And it was such a logical thing, but it was so thoughtful because who would think to do that? Who would think she needs to drink water, but it's, but that pitcher is going to get too heavy. And it was just so indicative of who you are as a person. It was you isolated and concentrated down into this one action of simple love, of just filling up all these glasses. And then like, you know, I was, it was so kind and so thoughtful in a way that I just, I was very floored and so touched.
Oh, you know, Bethany, that's so kind. You know, your glasses were also very, they're on a very high shelf. And I know you wouldn't be able to reach your arms over your head.
It's true. It was tough.
So I guess maybe let's end it on that. Very touching. Thank you, Bethany. Very nice moment. And I guess I might just say, catch yourself when you're feeling down about yourself. If you can, find a way to make the best of life's toughest situations. Change your mindset because your eulogy will thank you.
Okay, we are all so busy, and standing in line at the pharmacy to get your birth control is not something that is on your list of things to do. But if you're taking birth control, you kind of want to stay on top of that birth control, which is why Kathleen and I love being partners with the Pill Club.
Getting my birth control in the mail is life-changing because I don't got time for that pharmacy nonsense. And if you're anything like me, being on birth control is like a whole task on its own, just remembering to, you know, take it when you need it. Forget going to the doctor in person to get your prescription. The Pill Club wants to help you take the work out of taking care of yourself.
With the Pill Club, you'll never have to make a trip to the doctor or wait in line at the pharmacy again. They provide access to care from the comfort of your home and delivery to your door in discreet packaging, so your nosy neighbor doesn't need to know what brand of birth control you're on.
Speaking of brands of birth control, the Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $9 per month without insurance.
And what's more, their licensed medical team is just a text away to give you the best reproductive health care. Women's reproductive health care is so complicated. Take some of the complication away for yourself with the Pill Club.
So right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/taste, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Acquired Taste listener who becomes a patient.
Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org.
So that's thepillclub.com/taste to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control.
Remember, thepillclub.com/taste. You must use the link to make a donation. So Kathleen and I just started talking off the air and we just decided to hit record because Kathleen is working on her will.
Yes, yes. Because Neil's sister just got a job with a new attorney doing wills and living wills and, like, I don't know, health directives and that kind of stuff. And I don't have a will. Do you have a will, Bethany?
No, I don't have a will. And I need to make one.
Yeah.
Just so that I know the cats are taken care of in case I die tomorrow. You know, like, I need to make sure that someone will take care of them and will receive the money necessary to make sure they get all of their many vet visits a year, because they are the most high maintenance of breeds ever that I accidentally adopted.
Who are you going to leave your cats to?
Dennis. Dennis gets the cats.
Yeah.
Now, if I murder Dennis before I die,
I mean, likely possibility.
Very highly likely. Then the cats go to my younger sister, who already has two. So good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
Tina, you're going to have to deal with that.
I'll be a bitch.
What about you? So what's your deal? Are you leaving everything to Neil's family, to your family? Let's say you and Neil tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
The day after the will is signed and witnessed by a notary public at UPS, you step out hand in hand to visit the Peace Cafe in the East Village, and all of a sudden you get hit by a fiery gasoline truck. It's already on fire. Mm-hmm. And so you two just explode with it, thus going together.
Oh.
Who gets all your stuff?
Is there a dumpster outside of the Peace Cafe? Because I think you are saying that we will die in a legit, a literal dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, RIP.
So as it stands now, my family is still alive. His family is still alive. Everything goes to our mothers, and then they will divide it you know, like 50% to Neil's mom, 50% to my mom, and then they divide it accordingly.
Sure. Yeah.
If my mom and my brother are gone, this is where things get a little bit tricky. Because Neil's, okay. I've got lots of nieces and a nephew on Neil's side, so they'll be alive forever, right? But like,
sure, yeah.
There are no children on my side of the family.
Because your brother doesn't have kids.
My brother doesn't have kids, and that's it. So
yeah.
If my mom and my brother are not alive, and Neil and I die on the same day, where does my 50% go?
So this is where things get fun.
Okay.
Because then you can donate a portion to WNYC
I know.
That you hear Brian Lehrer during a pledge drive going, this hour, our pledges are matched by the estate of Kathleen Heaney at her bequest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will match everything up to, you know, $500
yeah.
or whatever it is.
So, okay, I think you're assuming I have more money than I do. WNYC would be like, okay, thanks for the $25 check, but like, we're not going to say your name on air.
They'd send a card back that says, that's cute.
So this was actually a storyline in the episode. Oh, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen episode 3 of Sex and the City yet, the new one, Just Like That or whatever it's called, maybe skip ahead a couple minutes, but
okay.
I don't think I'm not giving anything away. I mean, I am, but like it doesn't like, matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're half hour episodes. Who cares? You know? So Big dies. Obviously everybody knows that. And Carrie in episode 3 goes to the reading of the will, which I always think is funny when it's your husband, like somebody so close to you in life, your partner, and then you go to the lawyer's office to hear his final wishes.
Right. Like, isn't that a thing that you should have done together?
Yeah.
At some point.
At some point. So anyway, Carrie goes to the reading of the will and Big leaves $1 million to his first wife. Carrie then is now stalking his first wife because she's spiraling, thinking that maybe she didn't know everything about her husband that she thought she knew about him.
And that maybe he like allegedly assaulted 3 women or 4, you know.
I know.
Maybe.
Oh, God.
Continue. Allegedly.
And so she's thinking maybe like her husband is having an affair. There was like unfinished business and she was so stupid. She thought that they were monogamous and they were happy. Well, turns out that he just felt bad for leaving her, for divorcing her and like being married to her while he was still in love with Carrie the whole time.
Oh, wow.
So he left an I'm sorry $1 million.
Okay. I have so many people in my life who have wronged me. I haven't gotten a I'm sorry $1 million.
No, me neither. I mean, and okay. So, but let's say you were a multi-millionaire, Bethany.
Okay.
Is there anybody that you would leave an I'm sorry $1 million to?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Who would I leave an I'm sorry $1 million to? Okay. So we're just assuming that the $1 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what I'm leaving everyone else.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would leave, this is who I would leave it to.
Okay.
I would leave it to my sophomore roommate. Uh-huh. Because she had a Costco size barrel of cheese balls in her closet.
Oh.
And I found them. And every time she was gone, I'd sneak into her closet and take a few.
Yeah.
And she definitely noticed I was doing it, but she never said anything because she was really sweet. Oh. And so I would leave her an I'm sorry $1 million.
You know,
to say thanks for the cheese puffs.
Now that I think about it, anybody who is ever roommates with me at any point in time gets an I'm sorry $1 million.
Do you talk to any of your former roommates now?
I mean, yeah. My junior year college roommate is my best friend.
Oh, okay.
And my freshman and sophomore year college roommate was this lovely girl woman named Melanie who put up Bethany. She put up with so much shit. She put up with me like staying up late, drying my hair while she was sleeping. Like there weren't enough outlets in the bathroom. So where was I supposed to dry my hair?
Yeah. And you know, and it's, if you have too many things plugged in, the whole building goes dark.
Yeah. My best friend, Kristen, who was my junior year college roommate, she told me that the morning show that we used to work for, Bethany, she told me that while she was sleeping, I would put that on and dry my hair at the same time.
Kathleen!
I'm sorry.
You're psychotic.
I'm a terrible roommate. I'm messy. I like things the way I like them, which is like chaotic. And yeah, everybody who's ever lived with me.
I'm a terrible roommate too. I do not speak to any of my former roommates now except for one.
Yeah.
Because we had a third roommate together who was awful. So it put us on the same side of hating her.
That's helpful.
But everyone else, I wouldn't send any of the rest of them, I'm sorry, $1 million, because I see myself as being correct and them being in the wrong every single time. And I'm sure that I never did anything wrong. So none of them get it.
Okay.
Screw them.
So getting back to my 50% and Neil's 50%, if my family is dead, I would truly love to leave my 50% to my best friend's children.
That's really nice.
Because she's been a sister to me for 10 years. Bethany, she was my roommate and she still likes me.
that's a true friend.
It's a true friend. But would my nieces and my nephew on Neil's side be like, that's fucked up, Aunt Kathleen. Like, we are your actual family.
Yes. However, if there isn't at least one person who leaves the reading of the will fiery upset, then you haven't lived your life well.
That's kind of
like someone needs to leave filled with rage. Are you going to make a videotape in which you tell everyone, here's why?
I will leave a little bit to my cousin, my father's sister's son, and he will definitely get a video.
Okay, and what are you going to say to him?
His video will be like, these are the conditions on which you get this money.
Yeah, okay. Wait, is he the one we said on the air was...
Oh, but then you could say that on the actual podcast. Dennis, please bleep that out. I'm an awful human, but this is what my video says to him. I loved you since the moment I met you when I was 24. We did not know each other as children. Because our parents kept us estranged, and I'm sorry for that, because I feel like you would have been one of those really fun bad influences on me growing up. You would have taught me about drugs and drinking far sooner than I knew about them, and I probably would have had some fun. Here you get 15, 20, maybe 25% of my money if you can follow these rules. A, vaccinate your children. B,
because Corona is still going on.
B, close up your gun shop and open a different type of business. C, send your children to public school and please stop homeschooling them.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
D, do a 23andMe test and figure out who your real father is.
Wow! Kathleen! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kathleen, so you're gonna have the kids and your cousin storming out of this will reading.
Something like that,
I mean, that's great. That's great.
Bethany, I'm probably going to hell for this, but that is the God honest truth of what my video to my cousin would say. And like, I love you at the end of it, of course. If you can abide by these rules, then you get the money. I do have a system of checks and balances set up to make sure you are following, you know, for X amount of years after the money is administered to you, or my estate has the right to sue you and get that money back.
And send it to WNYC.
Yeah, and send it to WNYC.
It's so funny because my nieces are at a super fun age right now where they're about to become teenagers, but they're still young enough to like me.
Yeah.
And so they are funny and they understand that I'm a little strange and they're into it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I am going to, like, they already know that I'm leaving them the portrait of Minerva and Loki as a lord and lady. Which is huge.
Yeah.
They know that that's theirs. Mm-hmm. I received a mace from my father for my birthday.
Oh.
Not spray mace, but a medieval weapon.
Yeah, I saw that on your Insta mace. Story. That's amazing.
Yeah. So they will also be receiving the mace and what other like medieval weaponry I acquire over my lifetime. They have to figure that out because they're getting it and they have to keep it in the family. And I am also going to be recording a very dramatic video where I'm smoking for some reason. Mm-hmm.
You're dressed all in black. You have a black veil. Yeah. Like you hire a lighting crew to, light and down light and sideways light.
Hair light, you know, to really like distance me from the background. Yeah. There's going to be high drama and I definitely am going to be spilling some tea.
Yeah.
And also like maybe, you know, leashing some secrets upon my nieces about like, here's why you shouldn't, you know, do certain drugs and here's where the good drugs can be found and here's why fentanyl will kill you.
You know, maybe this is a good, you and Dennis could open up a new business. I mean, with your flair for the dramatic and like ability to write scripts and Dennis's talent behind the camera,
yeah,
you two could really start like a reading of the will video business.
Kathleen, that's a really good idea.
Right? There you go. You could have like a little studio set up with all like
a library, backdrop of a library.
Yeah. And you could have like outfits and costumes, and you could have, you know, like a makeup artist, like somebody you have a freelance partnership with to come in and do reading of the will video makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah. We'll have a teleprompter set up. You don't have to memorize lines or anything. Yeah. We'll help you and we'll really like, we're not in charge of the will. You figure that out. Uh-huh. But we're in charge of the airing of the grievances.
Bethany.
But it always comes on VHS. Mm-hmm. It has to come on VHS. Otherwise, it's just not going to look right.
You know, this makes sense that the best idea that we've had all year happens on the last episode of the year. You know, we're really setting the tone for 2022.
You and I are nothing if not procrastinators to the very end.
Miss Bethany, what did you learn this week?
That is a great question.
Mm-hmm. Make it emotional. It's the last episode of the year.
Here's what I learned this week. Be on the lookout for symptoms of depression. Mm. They're not always just you crying. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just the loss of feeling. Like you're just kind of numb. You don't feel the way you would normally feel about things. You don't get as excited as you would normally get, et cetera.
Yeah.
But if you can get yourself some good energy flowing and some, you know, take care of your brain the way the doctors need you to take care of your brain, take control of your mental health. Yeah. However, find the people around you who are psyched about you and the things you do and get excited about something in the new year because that energy, getting that energy built up is going to help make things happen. The same way if you are into whatever spiritual woo-woo practice you might be into, you need to get like the energy whipping around your circle or whatever you got to do to make the thing happen.
Put your crystals in the basket.
Exactly. Finding people in your life who will get excited with you about something that you're passionate about will help make the things come to you and flow and, you know, help propel you into a better mind space. And that's what I learned. That's what I'm working on doing right now because things feel stalled and dark, but I know they're not. And I think that, you know, I'm going into 2022 with this like really forward momentum, excited, whipped up energy.
Oh, I love that, Bethany.
What about you, Kathleen? What'd you learn this week?
I learned, and this is collectively over the whole year, I have learned to just have an open door policy when it comes to having people over. Like this year, I have stopped giving a shit about what my apartment looks like. Yeah. I have stopped giving a shit about like what I look like. I just say to my friends when they text me or whatever, hey, why don't you pop over?
Yeah.
And we've had, especially since moving into our forever home, we've had so many people just pop in for a short period of time for a cup of tea and like some snacks and then go about their business. Or, you know, I've hosted, God, like at least 10 different casual dinner, not even parties, just like casual dinners, come over, eat, and then go home and go to bed type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Since moving in, and it has made my life fuller.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you were in the middle of something and you know you have like a deadline and someone comes over?
So, you know, just now, like literally just before we started recording this podcast, Neil's sister popped over because she got a job down the street from us. And I was working on stuff for this podcast while she was here. Yeah. And she stayed for all of 15 minutes. And I had my computer on my lap while she was here. And I was like half listening to what her and Neil were saying. We offered her a cup of coffee. We chatted for 5 minutes and then she left, you know, and it's that type of thing. Like you can come for 5 minutes, say hello, but I have a deadline and I have to start working in, you know, 10 minutes or whatever.
Kathleen, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. And you do, like this morning when you rang on, you, I don't know, normally our morning recordings, you and I are both a little bit like, oh God, but you were in a different place this morning. You seemed more like upbeat and grounded.
Yeah,
I guess.
Open door policy with a lot of my friends. Hey, if you're hungry, this is what I'm making tonight. Do you want to stop over?
That's so nice.
And surprisingly, people have taken me up on it.
That's so nice. Mm-hmm. That's so nice. Well, I know you and I are having a meeting when I get back from the Midwest, like to, you know, see each other and to plan 2022 and maybe I'll come over to your house.
You absolutely should.
I would love to.
Yeah, big things happening for acquired tastes in the year 2022. Maybe a tour.
Maybe a tour.
Maybe
question mark? work?
A weekend camp retreat, maybe?
No, you haven't brought that up yet at all. Sorry. That's a new idea you just launched, and I'm going to go ahead and bat it down.
No, you're not. No, you're not batting.
I'm going to see it coming, and I'm going to bat it away.
We're going to go camping. It's going to be really fun.
No, we're absolutely not. If you want to get murdered in 2022.
We're going to do trust falls, and we're going to eat s'mores, and it's going to be the best time ever.
Kathleen, mm-hmm. I am feeling triggered left, right, and center. Every time I've done a trust fall, I've been dropped, and I'm not even joking.
Okay. Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
Radio Bethany on Twitter. Ms. Bethany Watson is where the magic happens. That's on Instagram. Dennis and I have started a TikTok.
Oh.
As of today, we've posted exactly nothing.
Oh, okay.
But we might start posting a something.
That's exciting.
So you can find us. We are BB. Oh, I just opened TikTok and I was hit with noise.
A barrage of content.
It's so loud. You can follow us. BBX Dennis is our TikTok username.
Ooh, that sounds like a fun collaboration between BB Rexa and somebody that I don't know named Dennis.
Click on it and follow us to receive no content.
I'm Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also follow our podcast on social media on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On email, an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
On P.O. Box, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And, your doorbell. Oh my God, who's there?
I'm in the middle of recording. Very important things are happening.
Do you need to get it or do you want me to continue?
It's fine. Keep going.
Okay. We also play your voicemails at the end of every podcast and our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Whatever platform you listen to, it helps push us up in the ranks. We've been getting the kindest reviews recently and we're so appreciative.
All right, Bethany, it's time. Oh.
Okay. I think, hold on. Please hold. Edit. Okay. God damn it. Hold on a second.
Oh, all those flights of stairs.
It was the wrong address.
No, get out of here. That's too many flights of stairs to be the wrong address.
It was some guy named Donovan. No one named Donovan lives here.
Oh, that's an interesting name. I haven't heard that in a while. Donovan.
My sister has a friend named Donovan.
Oh, do you go by Donnie or do you go by Van?
You know, I think he goes by Donovan.
Mm.
Making us all work extra hard.
Bethany, I feel so bad you're out of breath. Okay, let me take care of the next part. This podcast is edited by the wonderful and talented Dennis Callow, and you can follow him on social media at Dennis CAHLO.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath like you've run up and down some stairs.
You know what? That's a metaphor for 2021. So
yeah, no kidding.
And taste buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is Jessie from Anderson, Indiana. I'm a few episodes behind, but it's the episode where you're talking about the beautiful mess theory. And in the beginning, you're talking about how to layer up to keep warm. And Kathleen had mentioned how if you're working on like a marble countertop, your hands get quickly cold. And I'm a dog groomer, and our blades get super hot on our clippers if we are shaving down a big dog. And I actually have a slab of marble that I set my blades on, and it sucks the heat right out of them and cools them down and continue on with my grooming. So I just wanted to share that information with you that marble actually does just suck heat right out of things, including your poor little fingers. That's all. Love you guys. Take care. Bye.
What's up, taste buds? This is Ingrid. I'm in Charlotte. I was just listening to the podcast and Bethany's talking about how she uses the beer comb to brush her cat. But I'm cracking up because my husband, and thankfully he doesn't listen to the podcast because he probably will kill me for telling you this. It's hilarious. He uses the flea comb that I use in the cat for his beard, to brush out his little wild hairs that he gets from his beard and he wants to take them out. So I just thought that was really funny. Maybe there's something to cat hair and beard. Oh, man. I don't know. Anyways, I thought it was funny. Thank you for sharing that. That was hilarious. Love you guys.
Hi, Kathleen. and Bethany. This is Liz from South Jersey. I just wanted to call in and give a recommendation if you're looking for another young adult book in which a therapist plays not like the main character, but a pretty major role for the main character. The book is called Protected. It's by Claire Zorn. It's a very fast read, but it's a very sad read. Just a heads up and a warning. It's about a high school student whose sister died pretty suddenly, and she's kind of like grieving and processing that. So the therapist plays a great role. It's a really good book. Again, it is really sad, but I just wanted to give another recommendation in case you are like me, an adult who still likes YA books a lot. So I gotta go. My daughter is throwing nuts all over the floor. Love you, ladies. Love your podcast. Have a good day.
Hey, Bethany. I am so bummed I'm listening to the podcast, and I'm so bummed that I missed you in Sleepy Hollow. I manage the farmer's market, so I'm so pissed. I'm usually, like, walking all around, and it's kind of a big park. I probably just, like, missed you, but I'm so bummed that I couldn't say hi, because I totally would have. So glad you came to visit Sleepy Hollow. I live in Tarrytown, which is, like, right next to it, but I love living here. It's so fun, especially during the spooky season. And you didn't mention it, but if you ever go back and you did not go to the cemetery, the Sleepy Hollow Cemetery is awesome. It's a great spot for a photo shoot, and they've got tons of really cool history of who's been, like, buried there. They do like, walking tours, but you could also just go and walk around on your own. So I would highly recommend that if you ever go back or come back next season. All right. Love you. Bye.
Hi, it's Caitlin. I've officially memorized a voicemail hotline number, so you beat some of my best friends in the world on that, because now I know how to call 917-994-0353. Anyway, I'm calling just to say I really get a giggle and a laugh out of Dennis interrupting when editing to say something on the podcast. I think it's so funny. It gives me so much joy. You ladies are absolutely a joy every day in my life, but hearing the little interruptions are so, so funny. I think it would be such a good episode if there was interruption, but it's interruption for both Dennis and Neil, just both interrupting. I just think that would be so good. Anyway, I hope you both have a really great day. I hope anyone listening to this voicemail has a really amazing day. And yeah. Love you. Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.